Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley here in the studio. We also welcome to the show Jurgen Klinsmann and Frank Leboeuf with us to reflect on today's Champions League final. We saw Chelsea beat Manchester City by 1-0. Kai Havertz's goal in the first half proving to be the difference between the two sides as Chelsea under Thomas Tuchel go on and win their second Champions League. Craig, this was it's such an open start to this game. It was great. Sometimes these finals, you see the teams cancel each other out. This was quite the opposite.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any doubt that even Tuchel and his players himself would have understood that City were going to have the bulk of the possession. That wasn't going to worry Chelsea. And we'll look at Chelsea in the positive side to start, and then we'll sort of meander to the losing coach. But you've got to take a hat off to this club. Abramovich and his people do not mess around. They made an unpopular decision with some in sacking Frank Lampard, a guy who had been an amazing servant to that club as a player. But they felt they had to make a decision. This is a club that just makes decisions. Right or wrong, you may agree or disagree, but it made it. It was sort of cutthroat, but it took what was available. Let's go out, let's get him, right? Experienced coach, track record. And he came in, and I don't think I've seen a manager learn the squad as fast as he did. You think about all the changes he made in the first half a dozen games. Yep. You didn't know what that best 11 was going to be. It was the Hudson-Odoi at wing back. It was Alonso in the team. It was Chilwell in the team. It was Mount out the team and Mount in the team. He basically threw everybody together in that squad, and he learned about every player's strengths and weaknesses on the job, while still getting enough results to get them in the top four.
Yep.
And I think that was an amazing piece of management. To think about him coming in, if he'd have said to Abramovich when he was taking this job, I'll get you in the top four, I'll get you to an FA Cup final, which they didn't play well, and I'll win the Champions League for you, he probably wouldn't have got the job, because Abramovich would have said, you're off your rocker. But what he's pulled off, yep. I have to tip my cap to him. That has been, he has done an absolutely amazing job with this squad of players.
Jurgen, they deserved the win today, didn't they?
I mean, it was an outstanding performance today by Chelsea. I think it was an incredible team performance. Obviously, it was not the most exciting Champions League final in terms of numbers of chances created, numbers of goal opportunities. But it was tactically a super interesting game for all of us. And it was to see, you know, where they kind of find holes, where they find opportunities sooner or later. Then, you know, the goal by Havertz was one little mistake made by Man City, and they were punished for it. But overall, I mean, the energy and the confidence that Chelsea demonstrated was outstanding, and a huge, huge compliment to Thomas Tuchel, obviously, as the manager in such a short amount of time, as Craig said. To create something like that is unbelievable. And then obviously we are super, super happy, I mean, for Christian Pulisic. I mean, we have a Champions League winner, the United States. I mean, he came on, he almost scored that second goal. Imagine that, but he can be so proud of himself. You know, he's on the right path. You know, he's so much to look forward to. So this has been huge today and deserved by Chelsea. You feel a bit sad for Man City, but you got to give Chelsea all the credit today.
Yeah, Frank, what a day for Chelsea.
That's unbelievable because it's unexpected. I mean, everybody thought Manchester City will dominate and win that game. All the bookies, I think, put Manchester City as a favorite, and they deserve that position. But again, I said before the game, you need to fill up all the lists and make sure you cope with all details. And Manchester City didn't, where Chelsea did. And because, certainly because of Mr. Tuchel and the choice of his lineup. We thought that maybe Ziyech would play on the right side, where he put Havertz, and Havertz is maybe the man of the match. We were expecting also something great from N'Golo Kante. I don't even have a word for that. I mean, that guy worth a billion. It's impossible to sold him. It's impossible to transfer him. That guy has to stay for the rest of his life at Chelsea. I mean, that guy was absolutely a monster. But everybody did what they had to do. Everybody. Even Werner, who missed chances, has been running like never seen him running. Everybody worked hard. Where maybe for Manchester City is they put the intensity, but didn't have the they couldn't find the key in fight. The leaders couldn't find the key today to that game. De Bruyne, the time he spent on the pitch, but also Guardiola. Maybe we can talk about the lineup. Should Fernandinho play, and start? Maybe it would have been the solution because it would have put Gundogan a little bit further up. So we can discuss everything. But again, for me, the conclusion of that is Chelsea did what they had to do to win, where I don't think Manchester City did.
Yeah, we'll talk about Chelsea. Yeah. We'll talk about City in the lineup a little later on, but let's just focus on Chelsea and let's focus on the goal that proved to be decisive, Craig.
Yeah, I mean, it comes out of the back from Mendy, and you know, Kyle Walker goes to press, right? And John Stones goes in behind him to fill that space. Ruben Dias comes across, and now the left back Zinchenko, who's looking at the whole play building up. With his experience, he should know that he has to tuck round, right? Because if that ball's played on the outside of him, he still has then time to get back and make a challenge. But once it's played on the inside, and by the way, it's a brilliant ball from Mason Mount and it's a great run from Havertz, but look at the space between left back and centre back, and the much maligned Kai Havertz this season does the rest going round Ederson. But that's a classic case of, I'm just saying, a modern-day fullback, but any fullback, we talk about players don't really want to do the defensive side of it in this day and age. Mm. That's a classic case of a guy who, you know, thinks that play's probably going to break down or City are going to win it and then he's going to be, you know, down that left-hand channel when, in fact, his first job, Zinchenko, is to tuck round and narrow that space between him and Dias. Because once Walker goes, Stones goes, Dias has to come across as Franco Terry's the centre-half, and then you need your full-back to be getting round on the cover.
Right.
He didn't, and they paid the ultimate price. But, yeah, I mean, Werner had two good chances as well in the first half. One that he completely missed, and the other one, it was a weak shot. We saw there was a Pulisic chance when he came off the bench 5 minutes after. He should have scored. So this wasn't a fluke. Yeah, Chelsea did a lot of defending, but that's what they've done really well under Tuchel. We talked the other day. I'm not going to mention the club because people got upset. Man United. Well, go on, I've mentioned
it. How long did it take for you to mention that?
But they have a clear identity. Their game has been a possession-based game, although you're never going to outpossess or unlikely to outpossess Man City. But their general game has been a possession-passing game. It's been a little frustrating to watch at times, but one of the main aspects that he has brought in has been their structure defensively. From the get-go, since the minute he arrived, they've played three at the back. They've played four in the midfield. They've played two narrow and one up top. OK, they've tinkered now and again within games. But that's the way they've played. And the players have realised that whenever they come in the team in a certain position, that's the structure of this team. And what it has given them is a brilliant... In the main, there's been the odd wobble when they went down to 10 men against West Brom and capitulated. But in general, that shape has been a super defensive structure for them. We saw at times Reece James playing right-sided centre-back. He was back in his more natural position today. It was Azpilicueta back in there at right-sided centre-back, where he's an excellent, experienced defender. They lost Thiago Silva, don't forget, as well. Christensen, it wasn't just about Man City losing De Bruyne. Chelsea lost Silva, had to replace him with a player in Christensen who's been out injured. But I give them, you know, the players and the manager credit. It's been a brilliant transformation, and I can only imagine what Frank Lampard's thinking, having done a decent job there before it all unravelled. To sit and watch a team that you were working with for 18 months, players, and getting some good results before it unravelled, to watch this team go on and have the success they've had this season under a different manager, has to be difficult for him to sit and watch it. But when he sees it and he looks at it in the cold light of day, I don't think you can question the decision that Abramovich took and relieving him of his duties and going for Thomas Tuchel.
Jurgen, a lot of fans and pundits alike were scratching their heads as to why so much money was spent on Kai Havertz, yet everyone who'd watched him play in the Bundesliga said, look, this kid is really worth it. It's taken his time, but what a time to make your statement at this club.
Yeah, absolutely. No, Kai Havertz is a huge, huge talent. Obviously, he's not a finished product yet. And that's why he had his up and downs. Similar to Timo Werner, he's still kind of developing, even if he's already 25 years of age. But those are players that you've got to be patient with. And it's their first year in England, you know, in a completely different environment, a different place. And it takes time. It takes time. And I think Frank Lampard had the vision how to build that roster of that Chelsea team. It was very well kind of put together. And the big difference then to Thomas Tuchel was Thomas Tuchel is a real master in kind of, recognizing strengths and weaknesses of every individual players and put them in the context of the team. So that starts, obviously, with his defensive mindset, you know, the back line of Chelsea there with Azpilicueta and Rüdiger and Thiago Silva, then Christensen came on. Everyone knew exactly what to do. Then here you have in front of them Kanté, who played an unbelievable game today. Mm. And so he added piece by piece by piece based on the strength of everyone. And that's why, I mean, Kai Havertz now, here and there, he shows those strengths, he shows those moments. Obviously, no, it should be more on a regular base. He needs more consistency, but that's part of the growth. That's part of every player's kind of development. He can be super proud of himself, and it will be super interesting how they mix things up next season. Obviously, Christian Pulisic, we all hope he gets even more playing time. But it's Thomas Tuchel who put the end pieces together based on kind of the foundation built by Frank Lampard, and it paid out today, and they won a Champions League.
Frank, I think what it kind of epitomises this side as a real team is if I was to ask you for a man of the match, there isn't somebody who strikes you straight away who is the star of this side. And N'Golo Kanté, as Jürgen mentioned, and Craig as well, is so key in that midfield. But overall, it's more about the team and the collective than the individuals.
Yeah, football is a winner, you know, because we have the tendency to congratulate individuals where, you know, today Chelsea showed that they were a real team. And even Christensen, when he came and substituted Silva, we didn't see the difference. Mm. And no doubt that Thiago Silva is a fantastic defender. But you can feel there is something special, a chemistry between the players, listening carefully to what Tuchel wants, and it worked. It's true that N'Golo Kanté is N'Golo Kanté. And without N'Golo Kanté, I'm not sure Chelsea would have won today because, you know, how many balls that he got back and at the end of the game was still running, giving some breath to his teammates. Of course, N'Golo Kanté is unbelievable. But overall, and you're right, that's the team effort who made the difference. And it's what we have to underline for sure.
Let's focus then on Manchester City. I think everyone was surprised when the starting 11 was announced. There was no Rodri, there was no Fernandinho. This was very much against, Craig, what we've seen Pep Guardiola develop this season.
I couldn't believe when I flicked the team on just an hour before. I mean, the first thing that I noticed that struck out for me was I didn't see Sterling playing, mm-hmm. right, because he hasn't been playing well. That was the first thing that I noticed, but the main thing that struck me, Sterling was one of the things I noticed, but the main thing that struck me was obviously the lack of either Rodri or Fernandinho. Obviously, hindsight's a wonderful thing now. It's an extremely attacking team. However, let's look at this. You said it. This Man City team this year have built their domestic success on a partnership of John Stones and a Rodri or a Fernandinho just in front of them. And that pragmatism has given them an amazing platform defensively. They went on an unbelievable run of clean sheets. So to see a Champions League final, you're playing a Champions League final against a team that has beaten you twice recently, albeit you made some changes, but they've still beaten you twice. They're a threat. They've got pace. They play two players narrow behind the striker. So to not have a defensive midfielder in there, I am staggered by that. And for two reasons, and I said this to you during the game, and Frank's already touched it in the show. This is twofold for your team. One, you don't have a defensive midfielder. And two, your best goal-scoring midfielder, and Ilkay Gundogan, with 13 goals in the Premier League, the biggest threat they've got, a bigger goal threat than De Bruyne, a bigger goal threat than Foden, a bigger goal threat than Sterling. a bigger goal threat than Bernardo Silva. Every game this year he's been a threat because he's been timing those runs from a deeper position, but he couldn't do that until they made the substitution, I think, on the hour mark. Because he was the guy, he was the only guy with any defensive nous. And I'm saying that about Gundogan, he's an attacking player. He was the only guy that was in the middle of the park. And so the best facets of his game this year were thwarted, were negated, because he was trying to do all these other things. He was trying to plug the holes when City lost the ball. And so you could say, if you're a Guardiola, if you don't like this criticism of the manager's choice, you can say, you'll be saying, yeah, but he played Foden, he played Bernardo Silva, and he played Raheem Sterling, he played Kevin De Bruyne, and he played Martin. Yeah, he did. He did. But Ilkay Gundogan has been scoring the amount of goals for a reason. His timing of the runs from the middle of the park, because he has somebody behind him that allows him to do it, has been exemplary. And for some reason, in the biggest game of the season against a team that are a threat, no doubt, he decided, and I can't fathom it, that he was going to go in and upset the complete structure that he had built the success on this season and say to Rodri and Fernandinho, we're going to go a different way. I was amazed. And they didn't create any more chances.
No, Mendy didn't.
Mendy didn't have much to do. And no. That's the one thing, that and the Sterling inclusion, but I'm personally shocked that he went with no defensive midfielder and left his best goal-scoring midfielder so deep.
Go on, Frank.
On top of that, because Craig is talking mainly offensively, where Gundogan would have been played a little bit upper on the field and then Rodri or Ferdinand would have played in the middle of the park. But also defensively, we said so many times this season, well, finally, Manchester City have the player to defend. But in order to defend well, and I know I play with Didier Deschamps, I play with Dennis Wise, I play with so many fantastic defensive midfield players, and it's why I'm not naming Craig, but they done the difference because Rodri, Fernandinho, did help Ruben Dias and John Stone. And today, on the action that we see where Chelsea scores, there is a big no man's land where you don't see anybody. You don't see a midfielder from Manchester City. And it's maybe why Mason Mount is allowed to make that fantastic pass. But that's a detail that I'm talking about every time in football, that you make the wrong choice and you're punished for it.
Jürgen, what was he thinking?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he was thinking that, you know, he has so many kind of free-floating players up front that they can create enough chances, you know, and score probably already in the first half. Obviously, this is a big discussion because without a number six, without Fernandinho or Rodri in that moment, all the other midfielders, you know, like Ilkay Gundogan, need to do a lot of more defensive work, you know, which tires them out. And in the moment, then they have the ball, Gundogan or De Bruyne comes back into midfield, you know, Bernardo Silva. Then they're lacking the spark, they're lacking creativity to make a difference in going forward. Another issue certainly was then for Manchester City that they couldn't create enough width, you know. They couldn't kind of widen things enough coming over the wings. Here and there, Kyle Walker had one or two situations first half where he could break down to the end line. But other than that, Zinchenko never got forward. And so they couldn't make a difference on the flanks and create chances. And so, I mean, certainly this is a tactical fact that we love to discuss. And I think that also Pep Guardiola probably will look back and say, yeah, I should have maybe that decision I'd made, I should have made it differently.
Fernandinho has, look, this is always, you're always, you know, that's what we do. We analyse after the fact, after the, you know, managers make choices. And we saw Tuchel make some choices in the FA Cup final and it didn't work for him. They lost. And but I am shocked today by this one, primarily because after last season, going out in the Champions League as they did, having the season they did in the league, we were all saying, right, what part of the game do City need to have a good think about defending, right? But that was not just Ruben Dias, it was a defensive midfielder in front. But let me tell you something. Fernandinho has made a career of filling in for people's mistakes, whether it be a fullback not tucking in like Zinchenko. Mm. He's made a career of filling in there. But mark my words, playing a Fernandinho or a Rodri was not making Man City less efficient going forward today. It was only making them less efficient defensively. That was the bigger problem.
A lot more on this game on Extra Time. As always, you can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It is the holy grail for Manchester City, and it always really has been since all that money was injected into the club. But once again, they fail, this time at the final hurdle. Of course, the first Champions League final for Manchester City under Pep Guardiola. But that 1-0 victory for Chelsea will see them once again go without the big trophy come the end of the season. Jurgen, how much responsibility should Pep Guardiola take for this defeat?
Well, I mean, responsibility. Obviously, he will question a couple of decisions he made, but still, it was a very, very tight game. And overall, I think Manchester City is on a very good path. I mean, what they created over the last years, obviously, with the resources that they have, they're in the top five in the world. You know, I mean, they made some very, very strong statements in the Premier League. And in Europe, it's a one-step-at-a-time process. You know, even if you look back many, many years ago, Man United and Alex Ferguson, it took several years to get to the top. And the same thing here. I think Pep Guardiola is doing an outstanding job at Man City. They will go for the title again next season. I think they had a tremendous run in the Premier League, you know, and made some very strong statements. So overall, that club is on the right path. But obviously, today is a huge disappointment for all Man City fans because they were dreaming about that moment for such a long time.
Yeah, I suppose the argument is, Jurgen, Thomas Tuchel has done in months what Pep Guardiola has failed to do over years.
And that's wrong. I mean, in a certain way, you're right, because it took him only a couple of months, you know, to execute his job. But the foundation was laid, you know, over so many years now. The foundation of Chelsea is laid more than 10 years now. When Abramovich came on board and started to spend on players, on coaches, on infrastructure, on youth development. So what Chelsea did over the last 10, 12 years is also remarkable. It's really fantastic to see. There's a lot of money being put into the developing the squad, developing a philosophy, and obviously working with different type of managers. I think what Thomas Tuchel really can enjoy at the moment is a foundation. Last piece was created by Frank Lampard in a certain way, with a very driven generation of players. Players that are used to take over responsibility. I'm looking at the captain, Azpilicueta, who is just a role model. Fantastic kind of team player. You know, Thiago Silva, obviously. Then you have Kanté. Then a whole bunch of young players that, you know, they will actually still getting better and better. If it's Christian Pulisic, if it's a Kai Havertz or Mason Mount, they're just kind of starting to really fly higher and higher. And so I think what Chelsea created over the years paid out today, but it's a far longer period of time that they built that foundation than actually Manchester City did over the last few years.
You don't... the buck always stops with the manager. Jurgen knows as a manager. The buck always stops with the manager on hard defeats, generally, on his decision-making. And I do think he... And I've said this to you. I thought he'd get away from the overthinking it.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly, I think he's tried to overthink this one with his team selection. However, to go back to the initial point about Tuchel coming in and winning, it's fantastic. You don't judge a man's work on one game. Guardiola's body of work over years has been immense. I mean, Roberto Di Matteo came in at Chelsea in the previous Champions League win and was interim manager and won the Champions League. I'm not comparing Di Matteo and Thomas Tuchel. Clearly, one guy has a much better track record. But I'm saying these things can happen. I mean, Roberto Di Matteo, a former teammate of mine and Frank, had a spell in management, but he's no Pep Guardiola, right? This man, what this man's done in terms of the way all these teams have played has been innovative. However, this, sorry for want of a better phrase, noose around his neck, away from Barcelona, at Bayern Munich and now Man City, in the failure to deliver this competition, and I touched on it this week, was that for Tuchel, having delivered the top four, it was somewhat of a free hit. A final's never a complete free hit. But if City had rolled this by two or three goals, we'd all have walked away and went, yeah, we kind of thought that was going to happen.
Sure.
But for Guardiola, it's all about the question will arise again. Well, Bayern Munich failed at it. City continue to fail at it. You get all this money and that won't go away. That's not going to go away. Now, that doesn't mean he's a bad manager. He's one of the greatest managers of his generation. You judge his body of work. But what we thought, or what it seemed to be in terms of his team selection and his philosophy this season, prepare to be more pragmatic, not too fussed about wiping teams away 4-5-0 every game, but making sure we're solid defensively and then having a base, at the hotel last night, it seemed he just chucked that out the window.
Yeah.
And went, no, we're going a different way. We're going a complete different way this season. And
to play a start of Raheem Sterling, who has not been good.
No.
Who's not been anywhere near his best.
No. But then when you take a defensive midfielder out, you drop you drop Gundogan back, and there's another space.
Yeah.
So somebody had to come in and fill that void because he's already playing Bernardo Silva. He already played Mahrez on the right. He was going to start. Phil Foden was always going to start. So then you've got one more. And that's what I was saying, you know, and the first part of this show, is that City, for me, were absolutely no less offensive with a Rodri or a Fernandinho in the team.
Sure.
They're good passers.
Yeah.
They do everything, particularly Fernandinho. They do everything well. They get forward. They pass the ball forward. They cover. They're no less offensive. The only thing this did for Man City was make them weaker at the back, was make John Stones and Ruben Dias more vulnerable. That's the only thing it did. And actually, I thought it took away from some of their attacking momentum today. I mean, Foden and De Bruyne were sort of through the middle and getting in each other's way. Raheem Sterling got no change, hardly any change out of Reece James. He's just as quick, he's bigger, he's stronger. And that was shown. Ben Chilwell, I thought, did a great job on Mahrez. I mean, I actually saw earlier, I think it was earlier this season, or when Chilwell was at Leicester, at the Etihad, Mahrez absolutely roasted him one of the games. I mean, turned him inside out. He got tight tonight. He got tight to Mahrez and said, listen, you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to drop a shoulder and beat me with pace. And when he looked like getting past Chilwell, which wasn't often, and Frank and Jurgen mentioned it, and N'Golo Kante was there to come and help.
Yeah.
City didn't have that. City did not have that. Didn't have that player to come and help. Gundogan can't get across. For goodness sake, he was carrying an injury coming into this game, apparently, Gundogan. He was struggling with a muscle problem. And then you ask him to go out and cover all that ground. It's mind-boggling from a City perspective.
And what was interesting when we talk about the attacking prowess of City, in the end, Frank, they were left just crossing the ball into the box to Jesus and Kun Aguero, and that's a centre-back's dream for you.
Yes, but you are at the end of the game. You know, you don't have any ideas. You don't know what to do. You know, you're running after the time and you are stressed. And you think that maybe you stop thinking and overthinking, as Craig mentioned about Manchester City and especially Guardiola. And you go straight forward and you say, OK, we're going to cross the ball. Now we have two strikers. Maybe we'll have a chance. And they did have the chance. The last kick of the game was just over the bar. So it would have been possible to score that way. But, yeah, you lose a little bit of your temper as well. So everything goes wrong in your brain and you just want to have another chance and another chance and maybe have the chance to score. But just going back to Guardiola, I mean, it's easy to criticize a coach. And I'm pleased that Jürgen and Craig just want to analyze the game but don't criticize too much Guardiola, because Guardiola changed the world of football. I mean, how much he improved the way of thinking differently, involving goalkeepers to the game. When you are under pressure, to have somebody able to kick long balls, to play in kind of a counter-attack. So everything he did in his career is absolutely fantastic. And we had a list of the team who spent so much money. But you could add Real Madrid, Juventus and some others and see that out of 10 clubs who desperately we need to win every year, because if they don't win, something catastrophic will happen. Only one team can win. Only one team. Mm. And the others are going to be criticized. All coaches are going to be criticized. Tuchel took charge. Di Matteo took charge and won the Champions League. Don't forget last year, Hansi Flick took charge on Kovacs and won the Champions League. So everything can happen in football. That's the beauty of that game. To analyze, it's hard because you can have the contrary the day after. But to criticize somebody like Guardiola, I think you have to know nothing about football if you do so.
Get them on the show. They fit in well. Champions League then record for Chelsea, of course. I mean, knocked out in the round of 16 on the last four occasions when they smashed through that barrier, didn't they, this season, going on to win their second Champions League title. As always, plenty of content reflecting on that final over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to go over there and subscribe. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Meanwhile, Brentford beat Swansea 2-0 at Wembley, meaning that they will be in the Premier League for the first time in the competition's era. A thoroughly deserving victory for Thomas Frank's side. Very impressive in their victory, the 50th side to make it up to the Premier League. For more on this, let's go to Wembley and hear from Alexis and Don.
Thanks, Dan. And as a sunshiny Wembley, 10th time is the charm for Brentford. They are going to the Premier League for the first time in the competition's history. They've waited 74 years, Don. 74 years to go back to the top flights of English football. And they did it convincingly with this 2-0 win over Swansea.
They were superb from start to finish. It was exactly the game plan the manager would have wanted. He would have set that out in his team talk. Can we get a goal first 10 minutes? Yes. Can we get a second inside 20, 25? Yes. Can we control the game? Can we control Swansea? Give them hard hardly any chances. It could have been three when Ivan Toney wrapped the crossbar.
Yep.
That would have been an unbelievable goal. But total control, I thought, today from Brentford.
Total control, indeed. I mean, some of the players are still in the middle of the pitch behind us celebrating. And I know they're not thinking of what's next just yet. But let us think about what's next. Ivan Toney, one of the men you just mentioned, has been absolutely sensational for Brentford all season. How much has his stock raised and can they keep on to him?
Well, it was very important that Brentford won the game because a lot of people would have been saying that Ivan Toney wants to go to the Premier League, and rightly so. He's been excellent for Brentford in the goals that he scored. I believe that was his 33rd of the season today.
Yeah.
So it was important that they got promoted so they can take him into the Premier League. They can take Thomas Frank into the Premier League as well, because if he missed out the second year in a row, he might have been poached from elsewhere. Mm. So they're taking a very, very good team. Caños, I thought, in the first 15 minutes of the game, ran the show. Emiliano in the middle of the park looks a real player. So I hope they do well. They can try and follow Leeds' example into the Premier League next season.
Mm-hmm. I know. Well, they're coming behind us right now because they're wrapping things up here at Wembley. But we're going to wrap things up really quickly. Don, just in terms of Brentford surviving in the Premier League this season, from what you have seen from the last two seasons, is it enough?
I think they've got every chance. I think the manager's belief, the way he thinks about the game, the way they rely on data, all the analysis, the sort of money ball project, if you like, but I think what they've got a core group of players that are well capable of doing really well in the Premier League.
All right, well, that's going to be a wrap for us. They're probably one lawn mower away from mowing us off the pitch right now, so let's go back to you, Dan.
Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. We will be back tomorrow for more. Stay tuned, though. Extra Time is next with Frank and Craig. Welcome into Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. They're all about the Champions League final today. Craig Burley with me in the studio. Frank Leboeuf joins us as well. Craig, after their defeat today at Manchester City, much more likely to sign either Kane or Haaland this summer?
I don't think it has any bearing on their transfer recruitment, to be quite frank with you. I think they'll have made up their mind what they're going to try and do.
Mm-hmm.
This defeat has nothing to do with they didn't have a striker. This is more to do with team selection from the manager on this occasion. That's my opinion anyway. But I don't think it changes the fact. I think they were probably always going to go and try and get that done. But let's not forget, at one point, I believe they wanted Harry Maguire before he went to United.
Yes.
And were not prepared to match what Leicester wanted. So just because you want these players depends whether you're going to push the boat out for them or not, because there will be other suitors.
Frank, are German coaches officially the best in the world, with Klopp, Flick and Tuchel winning the Champions League in the last 3 years?
Yeah, no, I have no problem with that, you know. They're showing consistency and they're showing ideas. They're very much showing ideas because it's different football. Liverpool is more direct, Tuchel is more defensive and more a little bit tiki-taka, where Flick is a little bit a mix of the two. So I'm very pleased with those football. So let's keep on doing, German people.
Frank, remind us what you were saying off camera about PSG.
No, I just thought that Emery won the Europa League.
Yep.
Tuchel won the Champions League. I heard yesterday that Pochettino wants to leave the club. I think there is something much to do, you know, especially after Pochettino words, saying that there is no hierarchy whatsoever at the club. Thing that we know for almost 10 years there, where the players, they go upper the coach to complain. But when you see Emery winning his fourth title in Europa League, okay, but Tuchel winning the Champions League, it makes me wonder, you know, what's wrong with Paris Saint-Germain, even if I know the answer.
Is Kante the best midfielder of this century, Frank?
You know what? Yeah, I guess it is. But we have a kind of a heritage with players with the physique and the way of playing that way in France. We have Jean Tigana for the eldest, then Makelele, then Diarra, and now we have Kante. Mm. Same type of player, that's amazing, and fantastic, all players, but I think Kante is maybe the best of them. I mean, that guy is amazing. I mean, in 2012, he was playing in the Ligue 2 in Caen, and he won everything within like 5 years and grew up like crazy. Amazing player.
Frank, I'm thinking if he was English or American or Scottish, he would be a superstar in our respective countries. But I get the feeling in France, maybe he isn't. Is that fair?
He is. He is a superstar. Oh. But because he's not in the media and doesn't really care, you know, he has an old car. He doesn't go into TVs. He's very shy. Nobody bother him. What amazed me the most is there is not somebody in the world who hates N'Golo Kanté. Mm. They're going to hate you. They're going to hate Craig. And I'm sure they have the right to. But they're going to hate me.
Yeah.
But nobody hates N'Golo Kanté. And it's worse. Everybody loves N'Golo Kanté.
It's too nice.
It's crazy.
It's true. It's true, though, isn't it? Like, what if you did? There's obviously something wrong with you.
Well, I don't think... I think people get a misconception about punditry. It's not about liking. It's about... Yeah. It's about analysing.
No, but anyone who likes football in general, if you've got a problem with Kanté...
Well, you have to admire what, as Frank said, you have to have an admiration for how far he's come.
Yeah.
And to what level he's come. Arrived from where he was at, as Frank said, in the lower levels of French football, to come be superbly recruited by Leicester City. And their recruitment of players in recent years has been sublime. Then to win the league there and go on now, be a regular for France and be such an important player for France. And then to play in the manner in which he did again. And we go back to, you know, we talked about Bruno Fernandes the other day and there are other players, you know, complaining all the time. And he's not alone. When you see players complaining, even when you see Kanté getting a free kick against him or somebody's kicked him or a decision doesn't go his way, I don't, and maybe he has, but I don't remember him getting up and the first thing that comes to his head is, he's in the referee's face. He normally just brushes himself down, sort of accepts the decision, gets back in, and prepares to get on with the game. That's what I'm... From a manager's point of view, that's a dream.
Yeah, it must be a teammate's dream as well, knowing that he's going to be there all the time.
Well, I have to say, I played with somebody... I'm not comparing them, but Paul Lambert at Celtic didn't have the energy and drive to get around the field that N'Golo Kanté did. But Paul was one of the best at reading a game, particularly when he came back from Dortmund. He went to Dortmund as a journeyman, and Ottmar Hitzfeld turned him into won a Champions League winner when they beat Juventus, and two, one of the cleverest holding midfielders in Europe. And my time at Celtic playing with him, that just freed me up to go and score some goals from the middle of the park, knowing that this guy was behind just reading the game, and he loved doing that.
So he should have got the player of the season ahead of you, really, in the Football Writers.
Well, maybe if he'd scored a few more goals. You know. But Paul, you know, just to give you an idea how important these players are, and that's why the big discussion on our show today was the lack of Fernandinho in particular, or Rodri in the City team. Yeah. Because it's not all about the goal scorers. It's not all about the De Bruyne's. It's not all about the Mounts and the Havertz and all these players. This is such an important role in the team. City didn't have it today, and Kanté delivers it in bucket loads when fit.
Craig, what would you say about Pep now? Is he a serial choker or an overthinker?
Well, he's not a serial choker, because I presume this is a Man United fan.
I don't know.
I would imagine who doesn't get the context of them being able to win nothing. No, he's overthinking these big games. I mean, they have basically wiped the floor along with Liverpool domestically, cleaned up in the last 2 or 3 years. However, this sort of anvil around his neck is not going to go away until he wins this competition. But make no bones about it, if somebody handed me a football club tomorrow as a gift and said, pick any manager you want. I mean, it's close with Klopp and a few others, but I'd probably go for him.
Really?
Yeah, Guardiola. Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is a bugbear, there's no doubt about it, but it's definitely overthinking for me. The man, in terms of coaching and the way his teams play, and Frank said it in the show, he's been a genius of his generation. There's no getting away. It's a bit like you saying, people saying, you can't hate N'Golo Kanté. If you can't admit the talent as a coach this man has, then you just don't understand the game.
Right. Is Chelsea's transfer spending, Frank, showing us that investing in a bunch of quality players is better than spending 200 million on one player, for example, Neymar?
I don't know. Really, I don't know if there is a consequences of what happened last year and the fact that they spent. I believe in the way that you have to be solid everywhere. There is a big question mark now, and we saw it 2 years ago with Liverpool. We saw it last year with Bayern Munich, and we see it tonight with Chelsea, where a team is more important than a mega star. I'm not talking about stars, because every club they have stars, but I'm talking about mega stars. Ronaldo in Juventus, Messi in Barcelona, Neymar in Paris Saint-Germain with Mbappe. It doesn't really work. And it's not because of those players. It's just because of the clubs and the teams where those players play for. They build the team around them. Mm. It can't work anymore like that. It can't work. So is it Neymar's fault or Mbappe or Messi or Ronaldo? Of course not. But those players have to understand that if they don't run and don't play for the others, it's not going to work. And today, tonight, we had another example.
Let me debunk this point slightly. I see the point of the tweet. Let me just sort of... This is kind of weird. Yes, Chelsea have had this great success in the Champions League, but this tweet in particular talks about bringing these players in.
Yeah.
Let's analyse some of the signings.
Right.
Havertz has scored in this Champions League game.
Yeah.
Kai Havertz has not had a good season.
Right.
Timo Werner has not had a particularly good season.
Yeah.
Hakim Ziyech has not had a particularly good season. Those were three of the big signings of the summer.
Yeah.
So Chelsea have got it done, and Tuchel has got it done, and early in the season it was Lampard. And yes, these are good players. There's no doubt about that. And Havertz is a talented younger player. These are good players, but these three players have not had good seasons if you take the season as a whole. But they've had a great night, particularly in the Champions League. So that's a slightly weird one because, yeah, they've signed all these players, but they actually have been three of Chelsea's poorer players.
Yeah.
The better players have been Kante, and Jorginho's played better, and Kovacic early in the season played better, and Mason Mount's been better than these players. But I suppose you could say, well, it's a depth of squad.
Yeah.
But we've certainly not seen the best of those three, not from the form they had at their previous clubs.
You're back tomorrow, aren't you, as well? Why are you doing Saturday?
Yeah, well, somebody scheduled me on a Sunday this week as well.
Oh,
and I think I know
who
it is.
That'll be fun. Thank you very much.
Are you on tomorrow?
Yes, of course.
I am working from home, though.
Oh, you're working from home?
Yeah, I'm not coming in here.
Oh, okay.
No, I couldn't see you 2 days now.
Oh, that makes it easier, then. Craig, they're back with us tomorrow. Imagine more reaction to the Champions League final.